Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you, everyone, for joining in. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters. And I am very excited that I will have a conversation, or I am in conversation, with Rick Solon of Great Barrington Airport. I met Rick exactly on August 18, 2013, in the afternoon. He was the instructor, the pilot, that took me up for the first time in an Archer, 09er Mike, not 09er Mike, 98 X-ray, 98 X-ray, and since then I have been in love with flying. And Rick, if I have any weight as a pilot, or if I have any skill as a pilot, I am grateful to Rick, and mostly to Rick and some of the other instructors at Great Barrington Airport. Hello, Rick. Thank you for joining Flavor Matters.
Good morning and welcome aboard.
Yeah, welcome aboard. So it's really nice to be speaking with you, and I think many of the listeners of the show and many of the diners at Saravan are very well aware of my love for flying, and the fact that I take the airplane and go to the Cape and come back. But I think very few of them are aware of what it takes to be a safe pilot, and the training that we go through, and how important it is to remain a polished pilot. You and I flew together on Sunday because I had not flown for 4 months, so I was nervous about my skills. And so I would like you to not only introduce or talk about flying in general and the love of aviation, but also tell us a little bit, because your story about falling in love with flying and then Great Barrington Airport is a really worthy story, and I would love it if you could share a little bit of that with us.
Sure. My father was a mechanic in the Air Force. He worked on B-17s and P-51s out in Nevada, and my love of aviation actually came from him. He was, you know, very aviation orientated, and he took me to the small Fred Segala Field in Canaan when I was 5 years old.
Canaan, Connecticut.
Yeah, Canaan, Connecticut. It's out in East Canaan, out in the valley there by Segala's farm. And it was just a small strip, about 1,800 feet. And Fred Segala kept his airplane. Ken Kushai and Stan Segala kept their airplanes. This was before the Canaan Airport. And I got my first airplane ride when I was 5 years old. And right then and there, that's all I wanted to do. I just it bit me so hard that all I can do is want to fly.
And did you fly in a Cub?
I was Piper Cub. Yep, it was a J3 Cub, and Ken Kushai, who now rents airplanes from me, you know, is the one that started it when I was 5 years old. That was 60 years ago, and he's still flying my Cubs every once in a while. But it just as a love affair that started 60 years ago, and I just, you know, I haven't been able to give it up since.
How did you get involved with Great Barrington Airport? We know about Walt Kaluza, who owned the airport. The airport is as old as 1909, over 100 years old. It was a potato field and a grass field. How did you get involved with the airport?
All our life, on a Sunday afternoon, we'd pack up and we'd go to Bradley Airport and have a picnic on the back of the the station wagon, and we'd watch airplanes all day long. And when I decided I wanted to do it as a career, you know, at age six, my father kept bringing me up to the Great Barrington Airport. We'd watch airplanes take off and land, and he knew the people at the Cannon Airport, so I'd get rides from Roger Newkirk or, you know, other people that had airplanes, Romeo Pataki at the airport in Cannon. And then when it was time for me to learn to fly in high school, I decided that that's what I wanted to do for career. And I started hanging out up here at the airport, and my father would drop me off on a Saturday early in the morning, and I'd hang around. And then Walt hated to see idle bodies. He was a test pilot for Chance Watt for the F4U Corsair. Yeah. And he hated to see idle bodies. I said, hey, kid, do this. Hey, kid, do that. Hey, kid, do that. And I loved the airport so much that I went above and beyond every time he asked me to do something. And one day he said, give me a ride home. So I gave him a ride home, and he goes, you want to work for me, kid? He called everybody kid. And I said, yeah, I would love to work for you. So I started working for him when I was in high school. And
were you 14, 15, 16?
I was 17 at the time. 17. I was a senior in high school, and then I started working. And then I had another job at the AMP, Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company, stocking shelves and cashing out, making other money so I could spend my money on my flying lessons. And then I went to a small college, a private aviation school in Norwood, Massachusetts, outside of Boston for a couple of years. Got my degrees there, and then I came back and taught for Walt and for a couple of years. And then I got a job with an airline up in Maine, and they said, you're going to go to Presque Isle, Maine, for if you want a job. So I went up to Presque Isle, which is up, you know, so far north, you had to look south to see the sunrise in the east. And, you know, 25 below zero was a warm day in the wintertime. And so I was a couple years up there, and then I'd come back on, you know, every couple weeks, spend a couple weekends here helping Walt out. And then when I moved back down to Hartford, they had the crew base in Hartford. I stayed here, and I've been here at the airport pretty much nonstop since 1973.
So. Well, you know, when you and I flew together on Sunday, and then we were in the office, something very warm, heartwarming I experienced. One of your first students came to pay you a visit.
My very first student,
because you're very close in age, and tell us a little bit about that experience.
Oh, when I got my instructors, when you get to make a career in aviation, you start off with the private pilot's license, then you get the instrument rating so you can fly in clouds, then you get your commercial license, which just means I can actually get paid for flying an airplane, which I really liked. You know, one of the biggest jokes was my English teacher told me one day in school, he says, you'll never make money looking outside a window and looking at staring at clouds, because that's all I used to do in English class. You know, I flew for an airline for 37 years looking outside a window staring at clouds. So it was poetic justice for me, I guess.
Yeah. I thought about that yesterday when I flew to the Cape, because the clouds were so beautiful, and I remember you're making that comment, and I said, yeah, this is really exciting to just be up in the air and staring at the clouds.
So after you get your commercial, if you need most airlines require a couple thousand hours of time under your belt to show you know how to fly. So then most people go the instructor route, get you a flight instructor certificate. So that's what I did. And it was like a Tuesday morning. I had my instructors check ride with the FAA out in the old Westfield Airport before they moved to Bradley. And I had to be there by 8 o'clock in the morning. And a couple hour oral, a couple hour of a flight test. And then they finally passed me at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They blessed me and they gave me my paperwork. I get back here at 1:30, quarter to two, and Tom walks through the door. We'd known each other through high school. And Walt goes, here's your first student. You know, the ink wasn't even dry on my instructor certificate, and I had a student, you know, as soon as I got back to Great Barrington. And him and I have been friends. He owns a grass strip in Owasco, New York, up there. And we have the same philosophy about, you know, donating time and the airport to the town for businesses. And so anyways, I had Tom, and then we've known each other for years, and he keeps his airplane down in between Chester, Connecticut, and also up in Owasco, New York. And then he was stopping by to, you know, head up to Owasco, buys his gas here. Well, I always stop in and say hi, so we sat and talked for minutes, and I introduced you to Tom as my very first student. And then
exactly.
The rest is history.
And, you know, for me, one of the reasons it was such a heartwarming experience sitting there and seeing this experience, witnessing this experience, it exemplifies for me the warmth of the Great Barrington Airport. I haven't seen that. You know, I've been involved with other airport, Sky Acres and Poughkeepsie Airport. That warmth that Great Barrington has, that warmth of camaraderie, the warmth of friendship, the warmth of we're all in this together, the warmth of I'm here for you if you need anything, and your generous paying it forward with all the youngsters at the airport, and just seeing Tom and you on Sunday, for me as a person that was witnessing it, it's the story of Great Barrington Airport, the beauty of Great Barrington Airport, the friendships and the camaraderie that we develop and we maintain.
Yeah, we've always, Walt has always said it was always dubbed the friendliest airport in New England because there's no fences around the airport. The coffee pot is always on. You can always get a coffee. We have snack bars and people can always grab a snack just to sit and talk. But we have a very unusual circumstance here because we're privately owned and open to the public. If it's a municipal airport like Columbia County over in Hudson, New York, Pittsfield, you know, or Westfield or even Bradley, they have to have a fence around it for their security and stuff and, you know, for liability reasons. There's no fence here at the Great Barrington Airport, and we have people bringing their picnic baskets, and we encourage it. You know, we have, some gas grills out there. We encourage people to come out and just sit, and the kids love it. And we have boxes of toys, little airplanes, and, you know, and little gliders. You know, you can wind up the rubber band, let them fly, and then the kids are running around. And we always have one of our grounds people that are available, and we sit the kids in an actual airplane and show them how it works, you know, and it goes a long way for public sentiment and then get interested in flying. And we've had kids that did that and are actually teaching lessons now. They start out, you know, parents would come out for a picnic, and then I take them up for a ride. Ah, don't worry about it. I'll just take you up for a ride. I'm going anyways. Put them in a seat, and they love it, and then they wind up getting lessons and then getting your instructor's certificate, and they stop in. And right now, since Walt's had the airport in 1944, he bought it, and he was here until 2004, I would estimate there's probably about 700 to 800 pilots that have gone through that made a full career out of flying, either as an airline pilot for the major airlines, a military pilot, as a corporate pilot, as an instructor, and in the aviation field. We've had a lot of people that actually became air traffic controllers. They like flying, but they also like the ATC part of it. So they, their last laugh is, "Rick, I get to tell you where to go, and you can't say a word to me." And, that's one of the that's one of the funny things. You know, it's, you know, police department, fire department, who's better, ATC or a pilot? You know, the ATC gets the last word because they tell you where to go.
Exactly. I explained that. You know, we're limited on time here. I know that there are some issues that I want to bring up as well about the hangars that we desperately need at the airport, which I hope that our listeners will join us for our next segment. But to sort of bring this segment together is, as you said, it's a privately owned pilot, but airport. But the airport is very much a part of the community. And as you said, some of the youngsters, you know, I've been involved with the airport since 2013, and I have seen some of the youngsters that are now instructors, CFI and CFIIs, which is a wonderful, wonderful transition to see. And I remember, we'll finish this segment, the day that I soloed, I felt so proud and accomplished. And then I saw Joe Neer, who had just soloed, and Joe Neer was at the time 16. And now Joe Neer is a CFI pilot. I hope that the listeners will join us for our next segment, because I would like to speak a little bit more about the current issues that that the airport is facing. Rick, thank you for joining me, and I hope you'll stay here and our listeners will continue on to the next segment. Thank you for listening to Flavor Matters. This is Serge, and thank you very much.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Sarah Vaughan Restaurant in Amelia, New York, saravaughan.com on the web.